Well, good morning, Metropolitan. If you would stand, let's grab our hymn books and turn to page 201. 201. Let's sing all four verses.
More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus on His throne, riches and glory all His own. More of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me.
Pastor?
Amen. The more we can see of Jesus, the better, folks. More about Him. Might the Lord teach us in every area and every facet of our lives to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ in everything we say, everything that we do. It's good to see you all. It's good to have visitors in our midst this morning. And so please, we want you to know that we appreciate you. We appreciate that the Lord would bring you our way. And church family, as we welcome each other, please get around and welcome our visitors. Make sure they feel at home in our midst. And please be in prayer for the services today, that everything takes place within these walls would give our great God the glory. Let's do that right now.
All right, if you'll return to your seats, let's turn also to 220.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
On the fourth.
And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Please be seated. Thank you. turn to 243. Let's sing the first and last.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad. To enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, yes, I will come to Thee.
You may be seated.
Ma'am, please come forward for the offering. Good morning, Metropolitan Baptist Church. It's good to be with you again this morning. Good morning. All you visitors, it's good to see you too. We do have announcements. All interested in helping out, we still need AM nursery workers, door greeters, prayer warriors. And we'll be having Friday night fellowship next Friday. If you want to come, bring snacks. If you want to bring any. All NBC ladies, September conference, sign up at the Welcome Center. And anyone who is interested in helping clean up the mission house, please see Miss Marcia Turner. And if you have any letters, I mean, David Martin has a new letter at the Welcome Center. Please pick one up. And food list sign up at the Welcome Center for people in hospital. See Miss Erlene. Let's pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Father God, that you are a mighty, mighty, mighty God in worship and worthy above all to be praised. Father God, we thank you for all that you do, Lord, the things that we take for granted, Lord, and we thank you for those things, Lord. We pray, Father God, that you be with our pastor this morning. And Lord, our prayer is that if anyone, Lord, is here and does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they not leave Metropolitan Baptist Church without knowing Him. Father, we pray for the offering and ask that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Enjoyed the music this morning. Thankful. Still some place you can go where they have church. It's tremendous to be able to get together and worship the Lord our God. We look at a message this morning. It's been on my heart for some time. I'm praying and praying and praying about when the right time to preach it. And trust that today is that time. We see our nation, the children are back in school now, and already hearing of reports of violence and so forth in our schools. And the question, what's happened to our children? Let's stand together, please. Read just one verse of Scripture. I think it's a very searching verse of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. Proverbs 20 and verse 11. We're not going to be delving into this passage, but I think it is very much speaks to that question. Proverbs 20 and verse 11, it says, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." My, it's quite a statement, isn't it? Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Father, we bow before you, asking you, Lord, to indeed speak to our hearts today. Lord, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to direct every word, guide and direct, Father, that not a single thing would be said, not a word would cross this holy desk that you wouldn't order. Father, so long that you'd be pleased to grant your Spirit to deal with our hearts today. Father, if I grieve, I'm sure that the state of so many issues in our land grieve you. And I plead with you in Jesus' name that this church might be known as a church that cares about our children. That wants to rear up our children for your glory and for your honor and of course for their good. Lord, I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over every young person, every child in this church family. Should protect, Father. They'd have that care of your love, your mercy, your grace. Direct every parent, every father, every mother. And I pray that even in this hour, you'd arrest our attention. Focus our hearts, our minds upon you. And we'll ask all this, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And amen, of course, may be seated. I don't want to sound melodramatic, but it is dramatic. It is a dramatic situation indeed. But what is happening to the children of America? What's going on? We hear and see the awful reports of shootings in schools across our country. Not just to one demographic, not just to one area, one region, but across our country. And we must ask the question, surely you're asking that question in your mind, what's happening to our children? What is happening in the hearts and minds of children? And why does it seem, at least, that these things are taking place all the more often? Now, there's, as always, many answers, and dozens of answers coming from every direction. All the activists have their assessments as they pontificate why these things are taking place. But none of them really seem to go beneath the surface. They don't seem to really want to. They do not want to deal with the real issues. automatically, with every one of these violent incidents, automatically, almost immediately, some will be calling for the getting rid of guns in our society. Really, folks, are guns really the problem? I've not ever seen a gun out on patrol looking for someone to shoot. Never seen it. It's people that have the problems. Anyone and everyone with any sense agrees, again, with any sense agrees, that a child should never have free, unlimited access to a gun. Obvious. That should be obvious. No gun should ever be left unsecured so that a child could hurt themselves or someone else with it. Goes without saying, I would think. But are guns themselves the problem? I don't think so. You can agree or disagree on that. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. You take away guns and be mindful of this. You take away the guns and then you have a defenseless population. And that is in no way what our framers, the framers of our country and the Bill of Rights, intended. No, I don't really think getting rid of the guns is going to change a whole lot. Now, just as a side thought, now they're talking about getting rid of knives in London, England. Maybe we should get rid of cars when people run over other people with them. I mean, people will find a weapon if they want to hurt somebody. Well, some are saying, let's put metal detectors in the schools, at the entrance of all the schools, and that way we can, now listen to this statement, that way we can keep the weapons out of school. Duh. Yeah. It's a good idea to keep weapons out of the school, and we certainly don't want children, kids having guns or any other kind of weapon in the school. But just that proposal, forgive me, I'm an old dude. You might not have noticed that. But an old guy like me has a hard time even processing putting metal detectors at the schoolhouse. Again, I'm revealing my age, but I remember that one of the most dastardly things you could do and when I was in high school was have a pack of gum or something, you know, and forgive me, but for that, those really bad kids that would sneak a pack of cigarettes to school. I mean, those were the serious smuggling things of my day. But even with that said, if metal detectors will keep killers out of schools, so be it. I don't have any problem with that. But isn't it sad to come to the conclusion that those are the kind of things we need to do? Some say, and again, I'm just touching on a few things here. We could go on and on. But some say what we need is more sensitivity training. We need sensitivity training. That may help to a degree, but is that what the real problem is? What has happened? Now listen, think about this. What has happened in society for this violence to be so rampant? What has happened to us that our children need to be trained or taught to care enough about each other to not shoot each other? I mean, wow. Wow. Be mindful. And I'm just saying this is another side thought. Be mindful that all of these suggestions give government, I shouldn't have said that, even more control in our lives. Of course, they don't mind that. They don't mind that at all. Such ideas, though, beloved, these, and again, we could add many others that are floating around there, but all these ideas are like trimming the leaves when the roots are diseased. When there's a disease in the very roots of our society. What has happened? What has happened to the children of America, and what can be done about it? That's the real question, isn't it? Where do we go from here? And, you know, I'm not an expert. I don't have a PhD and I know everything. But I would, if you would let me, put forth a couple things, a couple ideas, some conclusions, and maybe a couple solutions that we should. Hey, that we, when I say we, who am I talking about? When we as a church, we as Christians, we that believe the Bible is the Word of God should come to some conclusions and some solutions that we should incorporate, at least. What are we seeing across America? Again, I know that it's not something new in the last few months or the last year. We've seen this progression until it seemed like, at least until summer began, that there was something almost monthly, at least, if not more often, happening in a schoolhouse or at some other setting where, quote unquote, young people are. What are we seeing across America? And of course, we're seeing this horrible violence. Horrible violence. I mean, we're not even talking about what's going on in the inner cities like Chicago and other places, but just violence across the land. In Psalm 11, verse 5, it says, "The Lord, Jehovah that is, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence." Notice what that says? Him that loveth violence. His soul hateth. You know, we talk a lot about how the Lord hates sin but loves sinners. God hates violence, it says. We see even with that, it seems that not only the violence, but behind the violence, a hatred that exists. I don't believe our culture has been more divided than it is now. And again, there's been improvements in some areas, but the deep divide in our culture seems to be sharper. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, you're familiar with those words from the Apostle Paul and in that passage. And notice he doesn't say, "let some." He says, "let all bitterness and wrath." And again, here it would be that word "all" would apply to all of these words. "Let all bitterness and all wrath and all anger and all clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." These things, folks, we should be able to lay, we that are saved, we that know the Lord Jesus Christ should be able to lay these things aside. But there's a violence and a hatred that is permeating society. We understand. We understand that lost people do not have that same power working in them. Certainly, unfortunately, we see a racism in our society. And again, that divide, I regret it. It breaks my heart. Now listen to what the Word of God says. It might tell us something very, very important. In Acts chapter 17, in verses 24, it says this: "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, and hath made," now listen to this, "hath made of one blood all nations." Huh? You hear that? "Hath made of one blood all nations for to dwell on the face of the earth." It's the same blood, beloved. It runs in all our veins. The intolerance of our day is so grievous. In Ephesians chapter 4, earlier in that chapter that we just read from, in Ephesians 4 and verse 2, it says this: "with all lowliness and meekness." Wow. We could do some of that. "With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love." Wow. We could do with some true tolerance. A lot of talk about tolerance in our day. Unless you believe that book, then you're forget it. Then there's also, and there's so much of this. You see it in every quarter, it's encouraged by the media and the athletics and all the self-exaltation. The self-exaltation. What did we just read there about with lowliness and meekness? But also, when Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 3, he said this. He said, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves." I know we tend to think a lot of ourselves. You know, like, forgive me, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but a lot of the psychologists want to talk about the problems with low self-esteem. That's not our problem. Our problem is that we don't think too little of ourselves, we think too much of ourselves. And we think too much of ourselves too much of the time. Instead of thinking about others. Putting others before ourselves is what... Hey, again, flies in the face of what we hear today. It's all about me. God says it's all about others. It's all about Him first, others. And then the moral decay. Oh my, that's a whole message, isn't it? The moral decay in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, listen to this. Talks about what it's going to be like in the last days. And the beloved, if we're not on the very threshold of the last days, I don't know what to say. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read, beginning in verse 1, it says, "This know," Paul wants us to understand something, be aware, "this know also that in the last days, perilous," the idea of the word is dangerous. Perilous times shall come. Now notice, the word "for" there in our King James Bible has the idea of because or since. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers," and get to this, "disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Isn't that interesting? In this dangerous society, that those that do good would be hated. Interesting. "Traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Again, that passage talk about? Number one, taking care of self, exalting self to the detriment of everyone else. Moral decay. Now again, the world doesn't give much weight to the Bible. We understand that. But, beloved, listen. How much do we that claim that this book is the Word of God give to it? How much credence, how much do we base our lives and or not only what we believe, but our very lives and actions upon it? Christians, if there's ever a time in the history of this world, I believe it's now. We need to trim our lights to shine all the brighter. Not dim our light for Christ, but it'll be all the brighter for the Lord Jesus Christ and His glory. We are experiencing... Now listen, we are experiencing... the characteristics, if you will, of a godless society. A godless society. These things, beloved, are common in countries and nations where they did not have the moral foundation of the Word of God and the God of the Word. How ironic. to me, it seems ironic that a nation that prides itself on being so civilized and so moral and above all others in the world, that it's quickly degenerating. Can I use the word? Beloved. For years, I've been a news junkie. Watch the news all the time. But I can't hardly stand it anymore. The violence, the murder, daily, even on our local news, isn't it? We're sliding into, can I use the word savagery? Human life is not valued. It's not safe. It's not safe to hardly be outside at night in our cities. Wow. Why? I'm trying the best I can to slap us in the face. We need to be slapped in the face and wake up. Why are there such extremes and so many young people hurting and, can I say, even killing each other? Killing each other. Why are America's children such a mess? Again, just a few ideas. How about, now listen, I know it's not going to be popular. Sorry. But I believe one of the main problems is there's an absence of parents. We're living in a generation of absentee parents. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody within these walls. It's all about making the, as my dad used to say, the almighty dollar. Huh? It's all about what we can get. One dear preacher friend of mine, he says, we're possessed with getting all we can and canning all we get. Absence of parents. The absence of discipline. And I'm not going to expand on all these because we'll get to that. The absence of parents. The absence of discipline. And the bottom line, the absence of biblical values. Biblical values. We used to have a nation that was built on biblical values. And again, the so-called experts would tell us, oh, preacher, you're trying to simplify the problem here. It's so much more complex. Sure, I'm sure it is. But there's some fundamental things that we can, that are very obvious even to an airhead like me. I'm sure that the problem is complex and the present situation and conditions didn't get this way overnight. But that does not change the obvious nature of the underlying issues and problems. I know I've said this before, but we can trace some things. It's not too hard to trace the beginnings of some of these things. 1963, the Supreme Court of the United States began a campaign, in my estimation, to ignore history and all legal precedent, to rule out as unconstitutional any influence of God and the Bible in our society and certainly in our government schools. Get God out of our lives. You know what it is now. It's not freedom of religion. It's freedom from religion. The effects have been devastating. And I'm not going to go through all that. I'm not going to list all. It's very obvious. You can graph it. It's so obvious. The statistics are just right there for anyone. But the effects have been devastating. We now have, now listen to this, we now have the grandchildren of the children that grew up with little to no biblical impact in their lives, in that general sense of our society. What's the result? Now listen. The result is a society that borders on barbarianism. We got to get our head out of the ground, folks. But I want to say this too. Not only is these other issues, but there's not only the absence of parents and biblical values, but there's the absence now in society of a creator. There's the absence of a creator. What do you mean by that? You see, in a society where God is rejected as the creator, a very devastating effect happens. See, if there is no creator, then we as creatures are not accountable to that creator. Isn't that obvious? That if you and I that believe the Bible understand that there's a God in glory that's spoke this universe into existence, and as His creatures, His creation, we understand that you and I are accountable to that God. That's why we understand what sin is. You're not supposed to use that word these days. Don't make people feel guilty. Oh, no. But see, without being accountable to a creator, then there is no worry about sin. There's no worry about such things. Oh, no. We got here, as one preacher said, we got here from goo to you by way of the zoo. So what's the point? We don't need to worry about a creator. If all we are, beloved, now listen, if all we are is a series of evolutionary accidents, let me be concerned about what some fantasy god would say, some mythical god. What kind of impact does that have on society? What kind of impact does that have on a child growing up where they've been inundated with that day in, day out by the government schools? What kind of respect for life is there if you're nothing but something that happened by accident? Nothing different than a spider or a cricket. My buddy... Marcia's laughing. My buddies, Natalie and Nikki, aren't in here. Every morning when we get to the office, they're on cricket patrol. Well, you know how the crickets have been getting in everybody's houses, and they've been getting in the church. And I got after them this week because, after all, if I'm here by evolution, I'm related to that cricket. And I told Natalie and Nikki, don't you be stepping on my cousin Ricky. Excuse me, Ricky. So what do? They go right over and step on him. Oh, there's another one. Pastor, Padmore. There's another one. And oh, that's his brother Sticky. Don't step. I know all that's silly, but hey, do we get the point? I'm nothing more than a cricket that's been around a little longer. What kind of an impact does that have on society? What kind of an impact does that have on our value of life? The absence of a creator. But beloved, whether you believe in God or not, it doesn't change the reality. It does not change the reality that God did indeed speak this universe into existence. And as our Creator, we, His creatures, are accountable to Him. But where there's that absence of a Creator, it impacts society. And we see the results of that. Well, what do we need to do? What do we need to instill in our children?
I care about these young folks. I know you do. They're your children. Those beautiful children in the other end of the building. I care about what happens to them. And I know you do. They're your kiddos. What do we need to do? What do we need to instill in our children? Huh? Hey, I'm a whole lot closer to the end of this thing than the beginning. But what are we giving to our children? What are we handing off to them? You see, I don't know how many thousands and thousands and probably thousands of messages have been preached across this holy desk in the decades of this church. But you and I, as the people of God, are as much accountable as any faction of society. We are to be that light. Let me say it simple, real easy. We are to be the light of what's right. We're to be that light. Proverbs chapter 29 of our children. Oh my, I know this goes crossways with society today, but hey, you know what? Who are you going to go with? Before I read the passages, are you smarter than God? I don't see anybody doing this. I know it's a stupid question, but we live like we're smarter than God. We're raising our children today like we're smarter than God who gave... How many times have you heard somebody, well, you know, I brought Junior home from the hospital. The problem was I didn't have an instruction book. Yes, you did. It's right here. God gives us instruction on how to raise children. Amen. How to rear up our children for His glory. Now listen to this. Proverbs 29, verse 15. Oh my, I'm going to be in trouble. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You're familiar with Proverbs 22, verse 6. Where it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train him up! I'm going to say something in a minute. As if I haven't been. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. You know what it says? And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Who does God hold responsible to raise and train children? He holds parents responsible. I know. We say, well, of course, preacher. But, beloved, it's time to get back to parenting. Parenting. I mean, parents bringing up children. Not leaving them to themselves. And not leaving them to the government, who, by the way, thinks they belong to them anyway. Not turning them over to the state to bring up. Oh my. Now I'll list just a few things here. We could go on. This would be a whole series. But I'll list here just a few things that a parent must ingrain in their child so that he or she might just simply become a good citizen. Huh? So many things, I'll never get through with this if I don't stay with it here. How about an old worn out word? How about an old worn out word, respect? To instill respect in our children. Parents, dad, mom, Your child should never be permitted to disrespect you. Dad, you should never, ever permit Junior or your little darling daughter to sass their mama. I agree that respect is something earned, but it's also, by the way, young people, something commanded by God. To respect, to honor your father and your mother. The focus, again, when you're disciplined in a child, that correction process is to always be focused on rebellion. To break rebellion. Huh? This is, hey, we're living in, again, forgive me. We're living in a society where rebellion is trumpeted and exalted. To rebel against everything. Is it any wonder what we're seeing in the streets? Rebellion. Oh my. Fathers, as we just said, now listen to this. No is never. No is never an acceptable answer to something you tell your child to do. This is the third time, Junior. You know, I watch. I got to be careful here. I don't know whether to cover the. I watch my grandchildren, and a couple of them they've tried to perfect this thing. Mom or dad, and it's not limited to one of them. Do you all try this? Where mom or dad can be 10 feet away and they act like they're stone dead deaf. Huh? Dad, mom tells them to do something. It's, I'm just waiting. Grandpa's over there. Didn't you hear what your dad said? Finally, it comes out. I didn't say that. Huh? Respect. Respect for parents. It starts there. It starts with respect for parents. In Proverbs 29, by the way, Proverbs is called what? The book of wisdom. It's a good place to start. We certainly need wisdom when it comes to training our children. Proverbs 29, verse 17. Listen to this. It says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Correct him. He shall give delight to your soul. Don't leave them go their own way. Oh my. But not only parents. When we teach respect, and I got to try to hurry on here, for all authority figures. Huh? The parent that has no respect for authority will certainly pass that on to his children. Children who grow up around a parent, it's all the time bitter and complaining about the government or the police, their boss. Down at the job, hey, even the church or the pastor. You tell me Junior's not going to pick up on that? They don't hear the parents say anything positive about the youth director. What's that teenager going to think? Huh? Sad thing is, the saddest part about that, it's interesting that next generation seems to get a little worse than the generation before. For all authorities. Well, how about truthfulness? And I'll move along. Truthful, just being truthful. You know how God feels about lying? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22 says this. Listen to this. please, every single one of us. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. Yeah, that's a strong word. The idea of that word abomination is disgusting. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that do truly are His delight. Truly. Wow. Just tell the truth all the time. All the time, every time. Oh my. Lines are so blurred when children are not told the truth. Tell your kids the truth. Tell them the truth. You know, lying is common. It's even extolled in some societies. But not in a biblical society. Not in a society that's built upon biblical virtues. Oh my. Isn't it something in our day? You know when you can tell if a politician's lying? If his lips are moving. Whew. Truthfulness. Sometimes as a pastor, I'm dumbfounded. I'll know a situation, what's going on, and someone will stand in front of me and lie. Just lie as if it's nothing. Just tell the truth. Be bound to the truth. Truthfulness. How about so closely related, honesty. Honesty. Again, in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. Now, look, put this together. It says, a false balance. Again, listen to this. Is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Isn't that so similar to the idea of truthfulness? It means being honest in your dealings. A just balance. You know, it breaks my heart when I hear people bragging about their dishonesty sometimes. What they got away with. Regardless of what the situation might be. Oh my. But listen to this. And unfortunately, as a pastor, I've witnessed it. A parent will be giddy about getting the proverbial something for nothing, and then they're puzzled when Junior is picked up for shoplifting. By the way, the chickens do come back home to roost. The chickens will come home to roost, and we will pay for our actions. And the saddest thing is when we pay for those actions through our children. But then fourthly, integrity. And I know I use that word so much. The word integrity. What is integrity? Now, beloved, integrity is essentially the accumulation of all these other things. They make up somebody that has integrity. Person of integrity. A person of integrity is a person of sincerity. They're a person that walks uprightly in that sense that they walk a careful, circumspect life. They're a person of integrity. You know, a person of integrity boils down real simple. Integrity is what you do, whether you have integrity or not, is what you do when nobody's watching. Oh my, we could develop that whole message too. It's what you are, what you do when no one's watching. We need integrity today for sure. We need it in our lives, we need it in our homes, we need it in our society. We need integrity in our churches. Well, these virtues that we mentioned here, they're extolled by everyone, really. Whether they're lost or saved. Truthfulness, honesty, integrity. The world likes those things. But the world is very limited in their ability to live those things. They have to manufacture those things out of their own human abilities. But you, if you're saved, have a great advantage. The Christian The Christian has these characters, these qualities, these virtues personified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. They're personified in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because Christ lives in us, we have the ability to see them worked out in our lives through the Holy Spirit, through the working and ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The ultimate responsibility of every parent is to teach their children to walk in that integrity we're speaking of. Isn't that what you want? God will hold every parent responsible for whether they bring to bear. Now listen to this, please. I know I'm repeating myself. But I believe that God will hold you responsible, hold me responsible, for whether or not we brought to bear the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ in the lives of our children. God's appointed channels of grace are given to us. The Bible. The fellowship of the church. To bring those channels of His grace into our lives. Oh my. We have this, we even as Christians, we have this messed up idea of what success is today. Let me ask you. If Junior becomes a brain surgeon and a millionaire, what point is it if he spends eternity in hell? To gain the whole world and lose his soul? Oh my. He may have 100 houses in this world, but what's it worth if he doesn't have a home in heaven? Oh, should be our overriding purpose, our goal, our very meaning for life as a parent. To bring our children up to, now listen to me, to share our convictions. What do you mean? Why do you say it that way, preacher? Because too often we're turning our children over to the schoolhouse to be trained. Now, I'm not wanting to be crying because, understand, I know there's godly people in the school systems. Two daughters that are school teachers. But beloved, again, we need to remember. You want to communicate your convictions to your children, not the convictions of an institution of infidelism. A godless system. Oh my. Society. The government education system is continually, you hear it all the time. Oh, you need to let your children develop their own belief system. Is that what they're doing? Is that what the school system's doing? No, but beloved, they're doing everything they can to convince their children that there is no God and they don't need to worry about what their parents think. Huh? I know I'm, hey, if I'm a lion, I'm a dying. Where we're at. Like, you know how every generation's brand. I think I'm part of the baby boomer generation. What are you laughing about? They don't have a name for your generation yet. Huh? Now what do we got now? We've got the millennials. I think that's the generation that doesn't believe in anything. Try to have a conversation with one of them about something that really matters. Now again, that's a real broad brush. I'm so thankful for young people that love God and His Word and want to make a difference for Him. Don't get me wrong. Oh my. It's time for Christian parents to be biblical parents. raise our children, rear them up, not to fit in. Huh? I don't want to make any waves down there at the university. Why not? Someone sure needs to. Huh? You never, there just might be someone else in that classroom that thinks like you do. It's tired of that teacher dominating their things with their godless philosophies. Huh? I remember when my second daughter, she went off to just the local community college, and she came home from the, you know, after the first week, and she said, "Daddy, this is a local community college in the heart of Pennsylvania." And even there, she said, "Daddy, you wouldn't believe the foul language that comes out of those professors' mouths." Huh? Foul language. Stuff I couldn't even begin to share in this across this holy desk. Don't teach your children. You need to teach your children not to fit in this world, but to stand out in this world. Huh? That they would indeed. What did we, the scripture we spoke of earlier on? Let your light so shine. Huh? That we would so shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. That as one old preacher used to say, even a birthday candle can be seen in the darkness. But oh, that we would so shine before men that they may see your good works. And the result, that they would give glory to your Father, which is in heaven. Is it worth it? I know you love your children. I know it. I love your children. When I hear these reports of what I know you're like, I know you're like me. You hear those news reports of another shooting, another area, another schoolhouse, children running out of a building and terrified, bullets flying from the hand of another child. Beloved, They need to know there's something else. They want the preachers and the counselors to come in after the fact. They sure don't want us before. I know I've unloaded the wagon here today. But it's... Forgive me, I know I'm an emotional mess, but I care about your kids. Your children are in the balance. I'm 66 years old, and don't you dare laugh. See, there you go laughing as soon as I said it. It's not got better in the last 60 years. It's getting worse. In the last days, perilous or dangerous times shall come. Our kids are in the balance. My question is will you stand between your kids? Listen, I'm going from what Peter wrote, 1 Peter 5. Would you stand between your children and Satan, who wants to devour them? He wants to destroy your kids. Don't trust the world to protect them. You've got to protect them. You protect them most when you arm them
with God's truth. His truth. Stand together. I know this is a very, very different Sunday morning message. Just asking you, let the Lord speak to your hearts. Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa. I'm so thankful I'm a grandpa. Got those 13 plus one beautiful grandkids. I love them. I'm so worried at times about what they're going to grow up in. I have to keep reminding myself. The Lord's got to protect them. But I as a father, you as parents, we are duty bound to equip them in the Word of God and the things of God, that they stand for truth in this world. Father, we bow before you. Oh Lord, I don't even know how to close what we've been looking at today. I'm praying for our children, Lord. Plead with you, Father, to protect, set that hedge of your loving care. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over every child in this church family. Lord, I plead with you. Protect them from Satan. Protect them, Father, from the world. Protect them, Father, from their own flesh. Keep them, Lord, for your glory, for your honor. And Lord, I'm praying for every father. Oh, yes, especially for those dads, but also for every mother in this room. Lord, I have no question, no doubt in my mind of their love for their children, their families. And I know there's so often we feel so helpless, Lord. We feel like we're fighting without any weapons, forgetting that we've been given the greatest weapon on this earth planet. The Word of God. Amen. Please, Lord, help us to train up our children in the way that they should go. When they're old, they wouldn't depart from it. We commit them to you, Father. No, Lord, I'm asking every parent in this room to reaffirm, to recommit, rededicate themselves to bring their children up in that nurture and admonition of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John.
Page 155.
Mom, Dad, these altars are open for you. Use them as the Lord direct, please.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today, whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy
without question. Metropolitan Baptist Church's most precious treasure is our children. I so love watching these kids or young people. Oh, I like to torment them and fuss with them, but I love them. I'm so thankful for each one of them. The last 7.5 years or so now, I've been watching your kids grow up. Seeing them become the people God wants them to be. And I pray for you, Mom, Dad. I pray for God's mercy to help you. His wisdom. His strength. It's hard, isn't it? You know, I don't want to preach another message, but getting to the place where you care, you love and care about them enough to say no when you need to say no. That's one of the toughest. I'm sorry, sweetie, I love you, but no, you're not allowed to do that. Huh? My daughters thought I hated them at times. But I loved them so much. I knew that they were capable of anything that their old man was capable of. And it scared me to death. our children, beloved. Amen.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, constantly abiding. Can you give me a note? Constantly.
constantly abiding. Jesus is mine, constantly abiding. Rapture divine, He never leaves me lonely. Whispers are so kind, I will never leave thee. Jesus is mine.
You're dismissed.